from NBC Connecticut. It's Kevin Nathan, who used to be sports guy. Now you're a news guy.
I feel like you guys just had my walk-up music for Aerosmith because my youngest of three kids is the world's biggest Aerosmith fan.
Oh, really?
Nice.
She's like, she knows Joe Perry. We're going to Hollywood Vampires this weekend.
Oh, cool.
I'm not necessarily a fan. I mean, I love Aerosmith, but but she is obsessed.
Are
she
you
is
kidding?
To music what I am to sports.
Okay.
She just loves it.
Wow.
19 years old going on
60. What does she want to do?
Wants to sing or be, you know, wants to be a rock star, don't we all?
Yes.
And if that doesn't work out, music business.
Can she sing?
She can. So when Jimmy Koplik's not here and you need a question answered about 70s or 80s music, and you guys, Katie Nathan is your musical go-to person.
All right. So tomorrow in Stump the Chumps,
okay,
we're going to have her do Aerosmith trivia.
Nice.
All right. She's going to help us.
Yes.
What it is it's a team, and we try to bring in a ringer.
Yep.
She's going to be our ringer tomorrow. She could do it from the phone.
That's awesome.
All right.
She'll love it.
She's available at 9:30.
You guys will be shocked.
What's her name? Katie?
Katie.
Katie.
Wow.
Katie Nathan, Aerosmith expert.
How long have you been at NBC Connecticut now?
Oh, gosh. I feel like Jerry Brooks now since, you know, I feel like it's the 50s. 96 was my first year. So it was the Whalers last season. Wife was pregnant with her first child. He's 26 now.
Oh.
Go figure. So
wow.
It's been a great place to work. The only guy or person at the station on air that's been there longer is Bob Maxson, our morning weather person. Everybody
great
knows
dude.
Bob's been there.
I like him a lot.
He's part of the property.
Yeah, Bob is. And I got to tell you.
NBC.
Yeah, he goes with the title.
He's awesome. You know, I didn't work much with him until I moved over to news. He's in the mornings, and I was night shift doing sports.
Yeah.
Great guy. Great sense of humor, and obviously a terrific weather person.
He looks like he has a lot of fun.
He really does, on air and off air.
Yeah.
Bob's wife, Jackie, we grew up together in New Hampshire. The Maxons do not get cheated in the fun department. Trust me. When they're at the Christmas party at the station,
fun,
I know we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, they put the Max on.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. And you haven't changed your look. Are you a vampire? You look the same.
He's going to go see Hollywood Vampires.
26 years.
Hang with people.
You know what? Getting off, you guys do the morning thing, and I marvel at how you can get up and have the energy you guys do. But I was nights forever, and that's hard. I mean, you're going to bed at 2 in the morning, and then you're getting up with kids and trying to make it all work. So
yeah.
Going to this day side.
Now, we say hard. We don't mean hard like running a jackhammer
100%.
Doing real work.
Yeah.
We do recognize that we're in air-conditioned studios talking.
Right. We're blessed, yeah.
Yes. I was a plumber's assistant in high school and college.
Yeah.
That's real work.
Yeah.
Digging ditches is real work.
Yeah. But like, you know, just waking up at weird hours and missing out on some important parts of life because you're doing your job or whatever. That's difficult.
You're going against the flow of the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get into it when you're 22 years old. You don't think about it. Wake up and you're in your 40s with three kids. It's like, holy smokes. How did this happen?
Too.
Yeah.
Get out of recitals and things like that. Well, I got to work.
So this Whalers thing, how does this come about? Why did you do it?
So, great question.
And when I say thing, it's this documentary. Like, they did a whole documentary.
Right. Wow.
It wasn't like he did a 2.5-minute, you know, package for the news. He did a documentary.
Yeah, right. It's not a short on TikTok.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I wouldn't even know how to put a TikTok video together. I mean, you're talking to a guy who hasn't listened to a music song after 1990 here.
Oh.
Captain Technology. First of all, it was a collaboration. It wasn't just me. It was our sports department, Gabby Lucevero, Matt Finkel. And it was a collaboration. It was a little different for me. Like, it wasn't... You know, I wasn't the only cook in the kitchen. There were a bunch of us that worked on the 7 or 8 people.
Yeah.
Took 15 months, 31 interviews.
Whoa.
The genesis was somebody at the station who grew up in Connecticut who thought, you know, if we're going to do a streaming project, why not the Whalers? The thesis statement of this is, you know, not, okay, we're just going to do a straight doc, linear way, tell the story. Anybody can do that. It was how there's sort of this love affair with this team that's been gone longer from Connecticut than they were here. 18 NHL seasons, gone 26, and there's still a booster club of 60 strong that meet every month. Go figure.
So I asked Ayesha, who's an institution comedian, I asked her, hey, you know anything about the Hartford Whalers? She goes, they're a hockey team, and I have their cap.
Yeah.
Like, that logo's iconic.
Right. Yeah.
People who don't even know what hockey is.
Had a guest here who was like, it's so covetable.
Yep.
Yeah.
Manny, yep.
And that's part of it. So the late Peter Good, who created the logo, we lost him this spring. We interviewed him last December before he passed. The original logo had a harpoon through the whale.
Oh.
And Peter wasn't cool with that, so he changed it. And you have that subtle H. And one of the takeaways from the piece, it's in the piece, is merch top 10 NHL still. There's a W.
Right.
There's
I know
an H
that.
For Hartford, and there's the whale tail. But some people will look at that logo and they just see the W and the tail.
Right. It's
they
a don't hidden even notice letter, the H. almost. Yeah. Yeah,
it's very subtle.
Very subtle.
To your point, Chaz, this thing has...
Boy, it was very subtle.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just learning about it now.
Yeah. I didn't know about it either.
It's been
Where
seen
is
all
the
over.
H?
It's been seen all
it's
over the world.
It's in the center. So the W and the whale tail are sort of the outline for the H. Yeah.
See?
Wow.
Wow.
That was very subtle.
And what Peter said is, you know, he's a very humble, modest guy. God rest his soul. He's like, you know, we did a U.S. postage stamp. And for better or worse, this is how I'm going to be remembered.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Okay, Donna Elkinson from Elkinson & Slow's PR, we had her on. She's in the doc. She's like, I was in Ecuador.
Oh.
And somebody walks down the street in a whaler's shirt.
Right.
Kevin Denis, and the last captain of the whale, is in Switzerland, and somebody's got a whaler's shirt.
Well, even if it's because they lost the championship and they had those printed out and they sent them to different countries.
It's, yeah. It's a great color scheme, too. Like, it just, all of it works.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Festive.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me. I think that if the team stayed, we'd have a lot less interest in it.
Really?
It's we all want what we can't have.
This is 100%.
And the team wouldn't have left if the attendance was nutty and it was making a ton of money, right?
Totally fair.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, people will point to the last year or two. They had the Save the Whalers ticket drive, and they got close to the threshold. The reality is we had Dave Schneider on, the Zamboni's band.
Yeah.
You guys would love
him. Them.
Yep. He's awesome.
Yeah.
In fact, we couldn't use the original Brass Bonanza song. Dave has the rights to their version. We use that in our piece. But Dave was very honest. I mean, a little snarky, but honest. He said, hey, in the early 90s, you could actually hear the game on the ice sometimes in the crowd. It wasn't exactly brimming with bodies, his words.
Right.
So, yes, to be fair, there's some revisionist history. And, look, I mean, would I love the Whalers back? Of course.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure we're the kind of market today that the NHL is looking for.
Yeah, we're not. And when the governor said, hey, we're trying to get the
whatever
hockey team here or whatever.
Arizona team, yeah.
Come on. I mean, it's a good political move to make, but we all know no one's going to spend that kind of money to put a team here.
Ain't going
to
happen.
And no, it starts with the arena. I mean, you can't put another Band-Aid on the XL Center. You got to blow the thing up, which kind of already happened once.
Is that in your documentary at all or no?
The roof collapse.
Yeah,
The arena parts is in there towards the end of their time here. The roof collapsed in 78, thank God, as somebody said, nobody was in the building.
Yep.
Wasn't there supposed to be a show that night?
I think so.
That's a good question.
I don't think it was the Eagles, but there was a show scheduled, then it was canceled,
somebody.
And the roof collapsed.
Yeah.
If it was the Eagles, I would have been there. World's biggest Eagles fan.
Okay.
Absolutely loved it. Got to see them with Glenn Frey in Hartford 6 months before he passed.
Oh, man. Lucky you.
But, yeah, so the roof collapses. They've got to rebuild, and they were able to add 5,000 or 6,000 seats, which is the impetus to get them into the NHL because they needed to have a bigger arena. Voila, four teams merged into the NHL in 79. The Whalers are one of them.
Wow.
So it was fortuitous in a way that the roof collapsed.
Yeah.
Go figure.
It's meant to be.
Kevin Nathan, NBC Connecticut in studio. Can we get this Whalers documentary now? Can we see it now?
100%. People have been asking. You know, we streamed it last night for kind of appointment viewing at 8 o'clock. You can get it now. NBC Connecticut's app.
Oh, cool.
Roku, Amazon Fire. You can go to our website, nbcconnecticut.com/HartfordWhalers. It's also for the, you know, old people like me that have a hard time figuring out streaming. I did last night. I was so proud of myself. a couple of moments, but we found it.
Yeah.
At NBC Connecticut on TV, linear TV, Saturday night, 7 o'clock. It'll be on.
Awesome.
It's 52 minutes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And, you know, look, for the purists, I read Seabiscuit, watched the movie. I read Moneyball, watched the movie. And I think sometimes when you read the book, you're disappointed by the movie.
Yeah.
We can't get into every last nuance, every trade. It's not a statistical thing. It's it's not a hockey story. It's a love story. I think it's for two audiences, which hopefully means everybody. It's for the Whalers fan and the hockey fan. And then it's also for that spouse or significant other that's there who could care less, but it's going to have an emotional connection because of the way we produce this.
Right.
You know, we have a Whalers fan bawling his eyes out on camera. It wasn't planned. It just happened.
When did the Whalers come to Connecticut?
74 is when they technically moved here. 75 was the first season of the WHA. The founders, a guy named Howard Baldwin, who was also the commissioner of the WHA, moved the team from Boston to Hartford as the New England Whalers. They became the Hartford Whalers in 79 when they joined the NHL. They're only in the NHL 18 seasons, 79 to 97. They've been gone longer than they were here.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Mm. Yeah.
That blew my mind.
It's like Journey and Steve Perry.
Yes.
He's been out of the band longer than he was in the band.
It's true.
But people still want
that
Steve
Journey.
Perry with
yes.
Journey.
Yep.
We saw them at the XL, by the way, my wife and I with, and gosh, I should know his name because I Googled him 80 million times. The new singer from the Philippines.
Oh,
Arnel Pineda.
Yes. And he's not even new. Like yeah. He's been
he 15
in the,
years, right.
He's been in there longer than Steve Perry was
that's
in there.
True.
Close your eyes, though, and you think it's Steve Perry. Now, Steve Perry is a ridiculous talent.
Yes.
But
they
my
picked
gosh,
the right guy.
It was awesome. But, you know, back to the Whalers, you're at the XL, and I'm not a – look, I'll go watch a concert wherever, you know, a couple cocktails and give me the music. And but the XL is – it's, let's just say, antiquated. I mean, it took my wife
a lot
40,
of work 30 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, my wife, I'm like, hey, she's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. 45 minutes later, she reappears. I mean, the line's like 100 deep. It's like, come on.
That's right. Jennifer in an empty ladies' room. Makeup, hair.
Girls got to prepare.
Girls got to talk.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, the whole thing.
Right. Share recipes. Yep.
All right. So what was it that moved them out of Connecticut? Poor attendance, all this, but was there any other deciding factors?
A myriad of reasons. I mean, I think, you know, some people will point to the trade of Ron Francis, who ended up fifth all-time in scoring, second in assists.
Oops.
You know, I despise the word icon, but he truly was a Hartford icon.
He was drawing attendance?
Yeah, and he was a community guy. That's sort of the thesis, too, is that how connected these guys were with the community, a small market.
Yeah.
If they owned a home, they owned it here, they lived here year-round, they weren't making gazillion dollars. When they traded Ron Francis to Pittsburgh in 91, the people who were here for the whole time will say that was the beginning of the end. It was an awful trade. Ticket sales went down. As Jay Sloves and Don Elkinson from Elkinson and Sloves said, you know, we say the day they traded Ron Francis is the day Brass Bonanza died. We predicted they'd lose 2,500 season tickets. We were wrong. They lost 3,500.
Whoa.
But you know, in 88, they went from local ownership in Howard Baldwin. It was the Aetna and Travelers that owned, and 14 companies that owned the Whale, local companies.
Yeah.
When they sold to Richard Gordon, now you're putting into the hands of individuals and anything can happen. The 94, Peter Carmanos, Detroit-based, buys it, and he had no vested interest in staying in Hartford. That being a smaller market, and you know, some people will point to the NHL, Gary Bettman, and not wanting to be in a smaller market, and some people will point to the governor and Connecticut's leadership.
Who's the governor then?
John Roland.
Yeah.
And he and Peter Carmanos declined to be interviewed for this.
Ooh.
Really interesting.
Yes.
You got a hot tub for him.
That's wild. Did you get sucked into the drama when it, you know, the Kraft was talking about bringing the Patriots here?
100%.
Really?
I mean, you know, you're supposed to have, you know, healthy cynicism as a journalist. I was, I don't know, 29 years old.
Right.
And the Patriots
awesome.
Are moving here. You know, it's 98. I'm at the news conference with Bob Kraft. You know, I'm interviewing Kraft. I'm thinking... But I think some of the more seasoned journalists, like Jody Ambrosio, who did UConn games forever, never for a second believed they'd actually move here. I think Bob Kraft, there's a reason you're a billionaire. He's a savvy business guy, and I think he leveraged our market. Having said that, you know, quote Donald Trump here, The Art of the Deal. I didn't read the book, but I've heard this. If you put a shovel in the ground, it's very hard to turn away on a project. Had the land site in Hartford not been contaminated— And had they had a formal groundbreaking ceremony, it would have been much harder for Bob Kraft to pull out of that deal.
Wait, what happened?
They deemed, I don't know, 6 months after they were going to officially move here after that news conference, that the land in Hartford they were going to build the stadium had some sort of contamination and that it wasn't necessarily going to be ready to put a stadium there.
It was called
and
Hartford.
Think, yeah. And that was...
I don't smell money in here. No money.
And I think Kraft used that as his, you know, way to leverage it and end up in Foxborough.
Oh, wow. I thought Rentschler Field was a result of this whole deal. No?
Separate project. The late Lou Perkins, who just passed away last week, UConn's former athletic director, he kind of spurred and pushed the Division I in Rentschler. That was its own separate project. You wonder... Obviously, UConn's had its ups and downs in football. What would have happened with that stadium project had the Patriots, you know, fully committed in the late 90s to be here?
Right. That's a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, think of how different everything would be had they won six Super Bowls in Hartford. We'd be like the Green Bay Packers here.
Or would they have won here? You know?
Yeah.
You just never know.
Right.
Like, you never know. Have you been to the amphitheater in Bridgeport? Your music
been
guy.
There twice.
Yeah, great, isn't it?
Absolutely loved it. We saw Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers there last summer.
Oh, nice.
And the Doobie show, it was kind of misting out, a little bit of rain, but that open air, the train going by. I heard Jimmy Koplik on with you guys the other day talking about how the train's going by and adds ambiance to it.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get in the door, have a beer, get the cheapy seats. But with 5,000, 5,500, the bad seats are great.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that place is a home run. Anybody that hasn't been there, it's awesome.
Big deal.
Yeah. Yep. Are you going to any shows there this year?
Haven't gone this year. I think we'll be saving up for the Eagles farewell tour. Got to get in there somewhere.
Oh, you are the world's biggest Eagles fan.
No, well, he has to say goodbye to them. You know.
Yeah. Did you see their Hotel California anniversary tour?
I did not. I didn't. It's funny. Maybe because I was so obsessed with sports as a kid and, you know, for my career, I didn't start doing. I mean, I went to America back in the 80s. That was my first concert. But okay. I didn't really start.
That was your first concert?
America. Yeah. Right.
With my high school girlfriend. yeah. Anyway.
Ventura Highway. Yes. Of course, no name.
I think my wife and I maybe 7, 8, 9 years ago started getting on this concert thing. We went to Citi Field when they had, what was it, Doobie Brothers, Steely Dan, the Eagles. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And what you realize is it's a short shelf life. I mean, this is it. My daughter's going to go see Aerosmith's show in Boston New Year's
Eve. How many more of those will there be?
Yep.
Count them on your fingertips.
And how many more Eagles shows? I mean, they're wrapping it up. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Don Henley's such a perfectionist from everything I've read. He won't go do a mediocre show in 10 years just to make a buck. Everything's so tight.
Yeah, when I mean, I don't the lyrics.
Yeah.
Right. Welcome to the hotel.
Right. Now, the so I saw them Madison Square Garden. It was like February 14th or 15th, right around Valentine's Day, right before the world shut down.
Yeah.
So it was New York City, February. And then 3 weeks later, the whole world was shut down.
Click. Yep.
Yeah. It was really amazing. Note for note. It was great.
It's just, and look, there's some good music made after 1990. I get it. But I will, you know, take it to my grave. The 70s, especially, and the 80s were the best time for music, period. I mean, the singer-songwriters, and I'm even, you know, it's not just like, I know you're a Van Halen guy. I love Van Halen, the Eagles, but even like, call me, you know, Carole King, Barry Manilow, the Bee Gees. All right. Now you guys are probably
those are James Taylor.
Yes.
James Peter Paul Taylor. And Mary, Carpenters, Jim Croce, great. A lot of great music.
New Havens.
That's a K-Tub collection.
Guilty Pleasures.
Yes. Guilty Pleasures, big time. Yeah.
Right. Kevin, thanks for coming in, man.
This has been great.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, man.
Next time we'll make it longer.
Right.
So, Hartford Whalers.
Yes.
Heartbeat to Heartbreak. You can watch it on the NBC Connecticut app, Roku, Amazon Fire, NBCConnecticut.com/HartfordWhalers, or if you're old school, TV this Saturday at NBC Connecticut at 7 o'clock.
Nice.
We worked really hard on this, and I think people are going to really enjoy it.
Good luck.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.